so I can report it. And for current temperatures, I've got Monterey at 52. It's 49 degrees in Salinas. Watsonville's also at 49. We're at 54 here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSEO Studios. Official time is 10:06 and 19 seconds on this Saturday, February 4th. Up next, we've got the Saturday special with a special guest, Vernon, Vernon, Vernon. Stay tuned. KSEO Santa Cruz, I'm Nikki James.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go. It's a day you know on KSCO Radio.
Well, good morning, folks. It's my pleasure to be back in the studio to do the Saturday special today. We have a good show for you. I look forward to it. We're going to have Nancy Black on here, who has caused some controversy in the area. I don't think she has. I think our government has. And we will have a great show about that as we talk to her about what's going on out here in the Monterey Bay area.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Well, well, folks, as always, it's great to be back in the chair behind the microphone here on KSCO AM 1080. My name is Vernon Bohr, a.k.a. Vernon, 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 a.k.a. V cubed. Telephone number here is 479-1080. I'll quit giving out the fax number. I used to do it for a long time. People told me that faxes are so passe, no one's going to use them anymore. And I just happened to be in a fortunate place in time. God bless him. MZ's off at a conference learning something. And so I have the privilege of interviewing Nancy Black this morning. So, Nancy, are you there?
Yes, I am.
And Larry.
I am. Good morning, Vernon.
Good morning. It's good to have both of you here. Larry is Nancy's legal counsel, and I actually wish I could say we didn't need legal counsel, except we're dealing with the government.
Nancy really would tell you the same thing. This is not a fun proposition to have lawyers defend me who's a scientist.
Well, you know, the problem is, too, is I've had my own dealings, nothing bad, with the law over the years, and I just know that there's nothing nefarious going on here. You just need someone like Larry to sit in the background, because you and I are going through life, and when we get sucked up in the legal system, they got to watch the way things get said, because when you get into the courtroom, things change. Is that not the case, Larry?
Well, you hope it doesn't. You hope for somebody like Nancy, who hasn't done nothing wrong, who's a very serious scientist, who has done that for 25 years and literally has provided the government with amazing data that they didn't know. To have to haul her into a courtroom and to have to, face this really, what I think is ridiculous set of charges is painful. And to be, it's been painful for 5 years, because this is something we've been dealing with, talking to the government for 5 years, hoping it was going to go away. And unfortunately, it's come to this.
Well, and it's, I'll even use another word, ugly. It's just terrible. It shouldn't be happening. So in the next hour, we're going to be discussing Nancy's case here. Hopefully, Larry will not have to jump in other than to fill us in on details that Nancy might have left out. And I hope you'll invite callers along the way, because people might be interested in asking specific questions. So, Nancy, why don't you give us a brief overview of what happened here? What went wrong? My understanding is you run whale tours out in the bay here. You're also a scientist, and I don't tend to read the local paper a lot, but I did catch wind of your case and have been following it and did some research last night. But I think it's better, in your words, to give us an overview of how this all came about, how you wound up being indicted, as I understand, by the grand jury, and what you're now facing.
Well, I'm not sure how it all came about or started, but, 5 years ago, this came upon me. The government agent, came in my house looking for things, and they didn't find anything. And I'm not sure even what they were looking for or what kind of big idea they had, but I think they had some sort of big idea they got from someone I don't know who. I really don't know how it all started. It's just kind of a mystery. And then they accused me of quote, feeding killer whales, and that's my research project. I've been studying killer whales here for just about 20 years, so I know them, you know, more than anyone else in this area. I work with someone else, Elisa Shulman, down in Southern California, and I also work with other scientists, Ken Balcom and John Ford, and, you know, other killer whale scientists in the Pacific Northwest, so we all have a big collaboration going on. And I also had a permit through NOAA, the same organization that is, you know, prosecuting me. Of course, they have different, you know, parts to NOAA. It's a huge organization. So I was working with the scientist part. The other part are the, you know, the agents, and that's separate, very separate. So they had received some tapes that they had. They had got copies from where I'm not sure where. Where I was using a pole cam. That was the first time I had used this pole cam. I got the idea from other scientists in the Pacific Northwest, who also, such as Ken Balcom, who also got a pole cam, because now we're starting to want to learn more about what the whales are doing below the surface, since, you know, they spend 70% of the time below the surface. You know, you really don't know what's going on with their feeding. And my interest, one of my primary research interests, has been in their feeding ecology, especially in Monterey Bay here, because this is actually the best place in the world to study whales feeding on other whales. It's just part of nature, and it's probably the greatest predation event on Earth. And we have the unique opportunity here to have the canyon, that deep, you know about the canyon,
yes,
the deep submarine canyon that comes in the bay. So we have deep water really close to shore. So because of that, animals that are normally found further out come in closer to shore. And killer whales off our area, not all areas of the world, but off our area, tend to be found over the deeper water. And they often travel right along the edge of the canyon. So when they're hunting gray whales, which is one of their main prey sources during the springtime when the gray whales are migrating north with their calves, the gray whales go to Mexico where they are headed now, and most of them are down there, and they give birth to their calves, and they stay down there with those calves for about 3 months or so, and then the mother takes her little calf north back up to Alaska, you know, covers about 6,000 miles traveling day and night. They really hug the shoreline for the most part, just outside the kelp beds, and they're doing that to avoid their predators, which are the killer whales. The killer whales are really the only predator of the gray whale, and that's natural. That's been going on, you know, for thousands and thousands of years. So that's their natural predator. And they're safer when they can be near shore, near the kelp beds, because the killer whales need a little bit deeper water in order to, you know, hunt them down. So once they get to Monterey Bay, you know, cut me off if I'm talking too long, but anyway, once they get to Monterey Bay, they get to Point Pinos, which is, you know, towards Monterey, the southern end of the bay. Then they have to cross the canyon. They really don't go turn right and make that inside near shore travel route, you know, because it's just maybe the topography, it's a rocky bottom, and it's just not straight north.
And no one told them to go a certain way.
Right, so they're programmed to go north, so they do kind of cross the canyon a little more inside the bay than the main whale migration, which is a little further out. So they start crossing the canyon, and once they get to the point, then they start doing this we call kind of a snorkel blow, where they're very quiet in the water, and they're very hard to see whale watching. In fact, we don't really watch mother and calf gray whales very often because they're so hard to find and so hard to see, because they barely come up and their little blowholes, you know, breathe, but they're, you know, don't make a big presence, don't kind of make a big surfacing like some of the other whales do, and that's probably because they're trying to be quiet so the killer whales can't hear them. And so they do cross the canyon. They cross that deep water, which makes them very susceptible to attacks by killer whales. That puts them out in the open, very dangerous area for them. So once they get to the north side of the canyon, they often, it's been recorded, make sounds. It kind of sounds like that, kind of knocking on wood are the sounds they make. And they may use those sounds to help them navigate back onto the shallow shelf again, and then they can get back in the shallow water into safety. And the killer whales, we think, are passively listening for these gray whales, listening for them surfacing and listening for that knocking sounds that they use to make. And the killer whales patrol the canyon kind of back and forth, kind of east and west, patrol the canyon for some quite a distance, you know, up 10, 15 miles back in, sometimes all the way in towards Moss Landing and back out west. And right near the edge of the canyon, it could be on the south edge of the canyon also. And, you know, they're hoping to encounter the gray whale calves. So once they do, you know, it's an event that, it's fairly rare to see from beginning to end. I mean, I've been studying them 20 years, and I've maybe seen it beginning to end about 5 or 6 times. You often get there after they've already killed the gray whale, or, you know, they're just done feeding or some other part of it. So the best for our studies is to see it from beginning to end, which is, you know, you have to be out there early in the morning and stay out all day and go out every day for a couple months during that time of year, which I do try and do. I stop my job on the whale watching and I focus on my research boat. So anyway, so when they catch the gray whales, that's the whole process, and that's, you know, my research interest. I've done scientific posters on this at the conferences for over many years now, where we have a Society for Marine Mammal conference for all the scientists from around the world to present their research, and I've done mine on the killer whales and especially their feeding ecology. So anyway, once they do find these gray whale calves, and, you know, I don't know if you've seen it, but it's been on the Blue Planet. That's where it was first filmed. I was a scientific advisor for the Blue Planet when they did film this professionally for the first time, and that was back in 1998. It's been on National Geographic. So there has been quite an interest because, like I said, Monterey Bay is a unique area where it's really predictable. If you spend enough time out there, you're going to probably get to see it. So after they find the gray whales, you know, it can take several hours for a group of killer whales. There could be anywhere from 5 to 15 or 20 killer whales, you know, working together as a team to hunt the gray whale calf. And they're just focused on the calf, not the mother. The calf has just been nursing its mother's milk for the last 3 or 4 months, so the blubber is pretty thick. And, of course, the calf is about 18 feet at that time of year, which is just about the size of a male killer whale and bigger than the female killer whales. The mother, of course, is close to 45 feet and 45 tons. She's very big, so it 'll be a lot harder for them to get the mother. And besides, she's been nursing her calf for, you know, for months, and she doesn't eat anything during the migration. So she hadn't eaten anything since the previous summer in Alaska. So she loses a lot of weight. So it certainly makes more sense for them to go for the calves, which are very fat. And so they spend time separating the calf from its mother. I've documented that, looked at videotapes to see which killer whales are involved and they have different roles. One killer whale will be in the middle between the mother and calf. The others are kind of around the outside. And actually, what's interesting, even though there's like 15 to 20 killer whales there often, only about 4 or 5 adult female killer whales are doing most of the work. Rarely the males get involved, although males they do sometimes.
The males are the lazy ones again, eh?
Yeah, they, you know, they hang out, but once in a while they'll help out. But for the most part, it's the females. It's the adult females that have calves, that have 2 or 3 youngsters, juveniles or calves, you know, that they're, you know, reproductively active females, not some of the older females, because there are grandmas in killer whale groups. It's they have a very tight social structure, and it's matriarchal, so the females are the ones it's based on. Even the males will stay with their mothers their whole lives. They're kind of like mama boys, you know, they hang out with their mothers for their life. And so the group is based on the mother and her offspring. That's one family group, and there's maybe 5 or 6 on average. And then once that group gets big, it eventually kind of splits up into other family groups. But the males are with their mothers there. I've seen when I first started, you know, 20 years ago, some of the same males with their mothers are still
to
this day with their mothers. No, we don't have to tag them to do that. We identify them by their markings by taking photographs of their dorsal fin and saddle patch, and each one is individually marked. It's just like a fingerprint, so they're easily identifiable. And there's about, probably close to 150 different killer whales that we see off Monterey, and they roam all the way from Southern California. They have quite a distance up into even British Columbia, a few even as far as Alaska. So they're pretty, California, Oregon, Washington is kind of their primary range, which we learned from this photo ID work. We would get together with other scientists and match up photos from here and say, oh, that one's been seen in Washington. It's the same whale. So that's how we learned about their movements. But so anyway, that there's a lot of information that, you know, I have found over the last 20 years that no
but
one.
But you haven't
before.
Been able to really document the actual feeding patterns on below
yeah,
the
I'm
surface.
Yeah, I'm still working on the feeding patterns below the surface. In fact, when I was with National Geographic, when we did a film called Secret Killers of Monterey Bay back in like 2000, they had developed they use critter cams. I don't know if you've seen that on a lot of animals, like elephant seals. They'll glue a critter cam, which is a small camera, to the animal's head, and then they can see what they're doing below the surface and when they're feeding. They've done that to lots of different animals, like turtles and things. And they had, we never got to use it at the time because when they were here, unfortunately, the population of gray whale calves was very low. They went through a kind of a crash in their numbers, and it's related to various factors. But each year there's a different number of gray whale calves born. Some years is very high, and that's, of course, when we see more killer whale attacks, and some years are fewer. So back then when they were here, it was fewer. So we never did get to use the camera they developed to put on the dead gray whale calf. It was the kind of a dead whale cam. And it was going to be designed to be put on the calf after it was dead and try to see, you know, what's going on below the surface. How are these killer whales working? Are they sharing the food? Also, there's a big interest in how much each killer whale eats, you know, for their ecology, because there are some killer whales that are endangered, some populations, especially the ones that you see off Washington and Friday Harbor, the resident types, the ones that eat the fish, because there's different types of killer whales. There's the ones that eat the mammals or the transients, which are we see here most often, and there's the ones that eat the fish. The residents, JK and L pod, that are very famous up in Washington and the Seattle area. And there's another type called the offshores, which range all the way from the Bering Sea down to San Diego, very large range. And they eat sharks and other fish. They became famous because back in 97, that group of killer whales were the ones that ate the great white shark off the Farallon Islands. And everybody, you know, always wondered, oh, who's the top predator, the killer whale or the shark?
So
and
how does this, I have, hate
whale.
To interrupt here, but how does this get you in trouble with NOAA? Everything sounds incredibly interesting. Innocent right now.
There's going to be a test afterwards, so make sure you take
I've learned more about killer whales than I knew in my entire life, and I think it's great and it's interesting. But I want to try and get to the government part because they told me you're only going to be with me for an hour.
Okay. Well, sorry. I was giving you the.
No, I understand that. Right. You know what's happened here for me, Nancy, is you've established your credentials as a good scientist out on a scientific mission. And anyone that has any questions about that has not been listening to the last 25 minutes.
Right. Well, anyway, sorry. So anyway, I'll get more to the point. So anyway, after the killer whales kill this gray whale, then, you know, they could spend up to 24 hours more feeding on the same gray whale calf, because you'll see killer whales kind of porpoising in from the distance, because oftentimes there may be, you know, three or four family groups of killer whales over 10 miles or so, and they're all patrolling, you know, looking for gray whales. When one of those groups finds it, then the others all join in, and there's not a competition. They seem to work together, and they share. They all know each other. They're all somewhat related. So anyway, we know a lot about the surface behavior during the attack, you know, the roles the different killer whales play, but we don't know anything about what happens below. Sometimes the carcass floats just below the surface, and sometimes it sinks to the bottom. And since they often chase the gray whale mother and calf away from the canyon to shallow water, because the gray whales are trying to get to the beach during this attack. If they can get to the beach and get in shallow water, like 10 feet of water, then they're pretty safe. That's the only way they can escape the killer whales, because the killer whales can't really attack them in such shallow water. They need more room and more underneath. So they give up when the gray whales get to that point. And I've seen that happen a few times. But anyway, so it often, if the gray whales sink, it's only 200 or 300 feet of water. That's not very deep for them. And sometimes they're floating near the surface. And it probably depends on, you know, the intestines, amount of air, if they poke open the stomach, or, you know, things
so
that
cute.
Make the whale float.
Well, there's what she's going to tell you is there is going to be some pieces of the carcass, otherwise known as blubber, that are floating
on the surface.
Right in the middle of this very, very amazing feat of nature. Go ahead, Nancy.
Well, so anyway, after they kill the gray whale, then, you know, they first go for the tongue. That's the easiest part because the mouth of the whale is open, so they can easily get access to that, and that's a good muscular, very large organ. And then after that, they'll start stripping some of the blubber off the whale. And their teeth, the killer whale's teeth, are just, like, so sharp. It's almost like scissors or a knife, because some of the pieces of blubber that are stripped off are, like, almost square-shaped. So their teeth are amazingly strong and sharp. So anyway, there is often a few pieces, up to maybe 10 pieces, not lots, of blubber kind of scattered out on the surface, and the whales are scattered out. They're not all feeding on the same piece. You know, there's different groups spread out. So we got the pole cam, which is a camera you can stick underwater, as I got the idea from other killer whale researchers. This was the first day we were using it, and so I was trying to figure out, you know, a technique or a method that would be best. The water was fairly murky. Often, sometimes it can be clear, but in that case it was murky, and the wind and the current kind of moves the blubber, and we are on a small 25-foot inflatable, so we can easily reach over the side. So what I was just doing was trying to keep the blubber near the boat so that when the killer whales came up to grab the blubber, you know, I could put the camera down, and we have, you know, a viewer on the boat, so we know where to turn the camera to see, you know, what's happening below. How are they feeding? You know, are they sharing it? Is, you know, the mother sharing with the calf? How much is one whale eating? You know, all that. And this is just beginning. So it would have taken, you know, if I had a chance to continue it, it would have taken, you know, a while to develop a good method for this. This is kind of a test because it was brand new. So anyway, we kind of held the blubber near the boat. And I have, since my experience of doing this for so long, I know exactly what the killer whales do. And I know that they're so focused on the blubber and feeding, they could care less about the boats, how many boats are around them or anything. I've seen them even attack a gray whale calf among a salmon fishing fleet of like 50 boats. I mean, they can still find the gray whale calves, and right among
they are not to be distracted.
Boats, they are so focused on these gray whales that the boats don't even bother them. They still do the same thing, and so they're just focused on the feeding on the blubber, and that's their attention. So you know, and I've seen them feed on the blubber from a distance, where they come up and they grab the piece of blubber and they pull it under, and whatever happens, whatever they're doing down there, you know, in another few minutes, the blubber they let go and it pops back up to the surface again because it's floating, and then they'll go around again, take their breath of air, and grab the blubber and pull it down. So, you know, what are they doing when they pull it down? That's what we wanted to know. So I was trying to keep the blubber near the boat, so that we could see it in the murky water to get a good start. So we kind of held it with our hand, and, you know, then we figured out, well, we had a line that we used to tie the boat up to the pier, so we just poked the line through the very edge of the blubber where it's kind of thin, and poked it there and didn't tie it to the boat or anything, because the point is not trying to have the killer whale hang on to the boat. It's just trying to
watch what it does with respect
to the boat.
Blubber.
So the blubber was close enough to the boat for us to see it. So this line just provided the little friction, you know, a little friction to the blubber so that it could stay in place, and then the killer whales came up and grabbed it as they do normally, even if the blubber is far from the boat, and pulled it down. And then that way we could see and point the camera the right way because they were starting off close enough to us. And we did get some footage of you know, them below the surface with the blubber. Not a lot to learn anything yet because, you know, we didn't – this is just the beginning. So that's what they call feeding, and I don't call that feeding. I call something feeding if, you know, if I had gone to the store, like Safeway, and bought a ton of blubber or something and came out on the boat and started, you know, feeding killer whales that hadn't killed their own gray whale. These killer whales killed this gray whale. This is their natural prey. This is what they were eating.
So how
all
they,
I was doing
what I'm
was
confused,
keeping near the boat.
What I'm confused about is clearly I understand what you're doing scientifically, even though I'm not, that's not my area of science, but who possibly on any given day, when I read the accounts I read in the paper, were that you were charged with two incidents total, one in 2004, one in 2005. From your description, what you merely did is grab the parts of the calves they were already feeding on and tried to find some way to use that to facilitate your camera documentation of their feeding habits. How did this become even an incident at all? How did NOAA become interested in it? What happened? Did someone report you? Who? What's going on here?
I'm not sure about how it started because they had several other incidents. It's like, you know, they had several other incidents they were, you know, talking to me about. So I'm not sure how that happened. But we have a disagreement, obviously, on what's called feeding.
Yeah, in fact, let me interrupt here. And, Larry, you might jump in. Because I happened to look up the Marine Mammal Protection Act last night. And it's unlike so many legal documents, I did a search all the way through there a couple times. I could find no definition of feeding.
Right, that's really the rub here.
And you know, I'm going, well, wait a second. In every legal document I've ever read, any law, and I'm not a lawyer or attorney, they always start off with definitions.
Because sure.
You lawyers are, you know, that's kind of your job to make sure we're all on the same page. And so I go through and maybe halfway down of this 112-page document, I find the first incident of feeding, and I'm going, well, wait a second. What does it mean to feed? You know, if my sandwich falls over the side of the boat, am I feeding the animal? Go ahead.
Well, that's the real problem here. The definitions of the verbs that are used in the statute, which are the prohibited acts, are very, in a lot of indefinite. For example, one of the major things that the MMPA prohibits is harassment of whales, okay? Harassment is defined in the statute as doing any act which will change or significantly modify the behavior of a whale. She's not being charged with that, but I use that as an example because there you've got at least some definition of what the word means, okay? It's the verb feeding, okay? What does feeding mean? That could it could be one of two things. One of which Nancy could be responsible for, the other of which she couldn't be responsible for. So use feeding in normal language. I am feeding the baby, meaning I'm taking some food, I'm putting it in a little spoon, I'm putting it in the baby's mouth. That's feeding. Or as Nancy says, I go to the, she goes to see, she gets a lot of fish. You see the porpoises and dolphins being fed commercially all the time. People, you know, hold the fish up. The dolphin jumps up. They drop the fish. It's an interesting sight. That probably is feeding, and it's probably also harassment because that's changing the normal pattern of that behavior. Because every time that dolphin sees a boat, they may start jumping up, waiting for somebody to drop food in their mouth. The other use of the word feeding is the passive sense, to watch somebody feeding. If my wife comes in and sees me at the kitchen table with a spoon or a fork in my mouth eating a juicy steak, she'll say, well, Larry is feeding himself, okay? So that's what Nancy was doing. It's the passive sense, not the active sense.
Well,
she
how
was
about
observing feeding.
How about even, you know, I've been down to the harbor here, and the salmon fishermen come back, and they will might fillet a salmon, and the seals are rampantly everywhere. And,
yep.
And the seals get the carcass. I don't think that many of the fishermen think they're feeding the fish in a literal aspects. And as I understand, the Monterey Bay, the Mammal Protect Act, seals are mammals. I mean,
yep.
Are you harassing the seals that are coming around the boat? And I understand that sharks aren't mammals and not covered by this act as such, but don't people chum for sharks?
Absolutely, and of course, that's exactly what wasn't happening in this case, and that's why we're completely at a loss to understand what the government's position could possibly be when Nancy, who A, has a permit to do exactly what she was doing, did nothing more than observe. She didn't facilitate. She didn't promote. All she did was watch. And let me point out one more thing, Vern. Very importantly, what Nancy did, she was never hiding it. She took the video from this and took it to a scientific conference in Norway and showed it. She took stills from this, and when she went to scientific conferences in this country of marine mammal experts, she exposed what she had done as a new and interesting technique. So when was the last time you saw a bank robber go into a bank and then start promoting it on his website that he's a bank robber?
Yeah, exactly. That's one of the reasons I was – and Nancy, by the way, I'd like to do an interview with you someday regarding the killer whales. But what I'm really concerned right now is getting you out there in the public, because this seems such a miscarriage of justice and a law gone wrong and bad. And I only have you for an hour. That's why I'm always trying to get back and refocus on this, because I don't get it.
Well, yeah, right. I mean, just go back to your example of the fishermen on the dock. When they're cleaning fish, they're throwing the leftovers. And I'm not saying anything bad about the fishermen. That's just the way it is. You know, they're cleaning the fish and throwing the leftovers over the side, and there's the sea lions there. We see it in, you know, all the harbors. The sea lions are waiting there with their mouths and waiting to catch the fish.
And yeah, they certainly wouldn't
accuse. Pelicans are doing that too, and that is illegal to feed pelicans and sea lions. So, you know, if you go by black and white example, then that is illegal also. But nothing has ever been done about that. You
and
know,
literally, the harbor seals would not consider themselves being harassed when they get that big chunk of salmon that gets thrown off the filleting table.
But theoretically, you know, that seems more pertinent than mine, you know, as far as that goes. And the pelicans sometimes die from this when they're cleaning the rock cod, the spines and all the things, you know, left over from that. We've seen the pelicans with that in their pouch, in their throat, and then poking through their pouch, and it actually kills them. It's very sad to see, because the pelicans are grabbing this stuff. So anyway, that's certainly a negative effect. But anyway, if you're using an example thing else in this area, to me that is, you know, more extreme than, you know, what I was doing by any means.
Well, yeah, I you know, as far as I can see, like I say, I'm really curious is to, you have no indication how this came about, because it sounds like someone's out to get you, so to speak. I hate to, you know, that's probably a paranoid word, but who would possibly be sitting out there or sitting on the bay with binoculars watching you day in, day out, because you're always out there trying to catch you feeding the killer whales so that they can.
Ron, we don't know the answer to that, and let me tell you what we're obviously, you know, we worry about it, but we're just in the early stages of the actual court case.
Okay.
We've been in negotiations for 5 years. The government never showed its hand or showed its card, so to speak. One of the things that we will find out during the process of discovery, in this case, discovery meaning the production of the investigation reports and various other things, is how this started. But as we sit here and talk to you today, we do not know how or why it started.
Listen, you want to take a call here? I've got a couple people on the line, on the board. Let's go ahead and take Diego. Let's see if I got him. Diego, can you hear me?
I'm here. So I didn't hear your whole conversation, but I think it's an interesting, maybe a bigger subject than it seems, is that the whales and the mammals and these laws that are meant to protect other species. When tuna fishermen catch dolphins and kill them, that certainly is, you know, harassment. That's bad. But when I'm in Hawaii and I'm swimming in the bay and out there and the dolphins come up to me, and the dolphins, as the researchers know, they'll bring a leaf to you on their dorsal fin and they'll drop it. Now, their first thing is they want you to carry it on your dorsal fin, which I can't do. But you throw the leaf, they'll go get it and bring it back to you. I'm not sure. Maybe that dolphin could be arrested for human harassment.
Diego, I was going to bring that up, is that what about people swimming out in the bay here and the dolphin, as you say, swim with you? Is that harassing the local mammal wildlife?
These laws are made by people who think that humans aren't part of nature. Humans are not. You know, they make the whole scheme of things, and humans are part of nature. But the amazing thing here, the lack of science here, is that in the ocean, we're not the top of the food chain. And we've had a couple of incidents here in Santa Cruz. A Santa Cruz girl, you must know, years ago, was being filmed with a whale, and she touched it, and it grabbed her and dragged her down to 60 feet. It's almost impossible to harass a marine mammal. If you do, that's what's going to happen to you. And she nearly died. Another local scuba diver was down off Yucatan and touched a baby dolphin, picked it up. The mother came and broke all of the human's ribs, all the person's ribs. We're not the top of the food chain in the ocean. When they come and play with us, they know we're there before we even see them. They're around you because they want to be around you.
You know, in the MMPA, as I was reading, doesn't it say something like you're supposed to keep, unless you have the permits, as Nancy did, at least 100-foot distance between you and the mammals? I thought I read that last night.
Yeah, and one, you can't see 100 feet underwater often. You're not going to know.
But two, how about that award-winning photograph that was recently in the Sentinel where that whale comes right up beside that kayak? Are they going to go out now and use this act to prosecute him? See, that's my interest, Larry, in this whole... If they can do it to Nancy, they can do it to you. They can do it to Diego. They can do it to me.
Here are two questions to ask. Anybody who makes a comment like that, first of all, ask them what authority they're speaking on. And I'm sorry, but I'll tell you what, they have a BA degree, not a science degree. They go, I have a degree in... Well, that's a BA degree. You didn't do statistics. You didn't do... I'm sorry, you're not really scientific about this. The second one is say to them, you know, down in Monterey, there's a sign there in the cliff that says, do not feed the squirrels. They will become dependent. But these same people who think that we can't intermingle with other species, ask them if we should quit feeding the vagrants on the mall because they might become dependent. And funny, they'll turn right around and don't think that feeding the vagrants is harassment.
Diego, thanks so much for the call. Anything else here? I really appreciate it.
Okay.
Thanks bye-bye. For the call. What we're going to do here is we have to take one break this hour. And so we're going to do that right now because I've got another caller on the line here. So Larry and Nancy and Mark, stay with me. My name is Vernon Bohr, a.k.a. Vernon, a.k.a. V-Cube, in for MZ, who I hope is changing the world, making his impact on the world, and I'm proud to be behind the mic of KSCO today with the lovely Nikki handling the board for me. I'll be right back with you.
Here's some good news. You can find the work you really want, the work that taps into your deepest talents and interests, and you can start Saturday at 2 p.m. by attending a free lecture entitled Let Love Lead by international speaker Chet Manchester at 3200 Center Street in Soquel. A practitioner and teacher of Christian Science Healing, Manchester's free talk on finding meaningful work and purpose will include a question and answer session. Get the help you need to find the work you want Saturday at 2 p.m. at 3200 Center Street in Soquel. For more information, call 475-6170.
The Home Depot introduces the new Age Bronze Cage Pendant Light, part of our exclusive home decorators collection for only $69.97. An $80 value with a free vintage bulb. You don't often hear unique and affordable in the same sentence about lighting, but that describes our new lighting area beautifully. And our new $69.97 Cage Pendant Light perfectly. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Hello, Charlie Friedman here. Listen to the things your friends and neighbors are doing for themselves with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Xbox 360 repair.
Solar energy kits. Musical Tesla coil.
Video output for my home media center.
Building a new server.
Repairing a student radio station.
More RAM and a sound card.
DSL line.
Network printing, scanning, and faxing for dentists.
Replacing antivirus on 12 machines.
Wireless network for court order agency.
Diagnosing sound card problem.
Building a 5-kilowatt amplifier.
Ham radio antenna.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Voted best electronics store 2 years running. Call Santa Cruz Electronics today at 831-479-5444 or visit at 2808 Soquel Avenue in Santa Cruz. Do it yourself and save money with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Don't miss the next Perspectives.
Virtually all cancers are all substantially increased when you're vitamin D deficient.
Every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 o'clock.
You've tuned into the Perspectives Radio Show. My name is Donald Davidson. I'm your host, and joining me in the studio as special guest host is Dr. Stan.
Join Donald Davidson, Dr. Stanley Monteith, Dr. David Biles, Tom Quinn, and others. Perspectives every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 o'clock on KSCO.
Go, go, go! One, two, three.
Super Bowl Sunday, huh? Okay. A bunch of low-IQ gladiators smashing into each other, all chasing a pointed little ball. Makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Well, let me tell you something. While all these so-called men are sitting around in their couches, armchairs, burping, slurping, chomping down gut bombs, flatulating, grabbing and scratching their beer nuts, I invite all you football widows to join me live right here on the air. Yeah, we'll cut it up. We'll talk. We'll play some good music if you get my drift. And give it up. 7 p.m. on AM 1080 KSCO. Be here and don't be there.
Because with Dave Allen, you don't miss a lick.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's it.
Okay, folks, back here with you on KSCO AM 1080 on the Saturday special. My guest is Nancy Black, who is being persecuted and prosecuted by NOAA, or anyway, she's been indicted by them. Those are my adjectives for a condition going on, something going on that I think is just a travesty and a total waste of public money. But once you get dragged into the legal system, there's not much you can do about it. And what Nancy is accused of is violating the Marine Mammal Protection Act by feeding orcas, killer whales, out in the bay when in fact she was just using what was floating on the surface from the kill to and attaching it to her pole camera to try and see what's going on with their feeding habits and patterns below the surface of the water. At this particular point in the case, she's merely been indicted, is my understanding. We've been talking to her and Larry, and in the course of discovery, we will find out what's next. Is that a kind of a pretty accurate summary, would you say?
Yes, you know, again, discovery meaning that they're going to provide us, for example, with the, we hope, with the affidavit in support of the search warrant, where many armed federal officers came into Nancy's house and ransacked it and, you know, took what they wanted to take. And we want to find out what was the probable cause. What did they say was the reason for going in there? And that should, Vern, tell us kind of the genesis of why this case started. And then we'll better be able to answer your question about the big why.
Well, we'll definitely have to do a show on this later. But what I want the listening audience to appreciate here from my perspective, and I don't get my answers from God at 3 a.m, is that if it can happen to someone like Nancy, who's a scientist who had the permits to do the research she was doing and working for NOAA, this kind of stuff can happen to any of us. And that's the part that's scary. Here there's a piece of legislation, a law in effect, that doesn't define feeding. it affects all of us. As Diego pointed out in the last call, you could be accused of harassing the mammals in the bay that are swimming with you. And so this is something we need to pay attention to. We're going to take another call here. Let's see. Mark, you on the air?
Yeah, Vernon, you bring up a very, very good point. Before any of us, public, goes out onto the bay, we got to remember that's the National Marine Sanctuary. And it's protected by MMPA, Marine Mammal Protection Act, federal law. It's also protected by MLPA, Marine Life Protection Act, which is state law. And when you go out there, say your boat sinks. You know, it's a tragedy, like that poor sardine boat off of Pleasure Point a couple weeks ago. You're liable up. You have 24 hours to get your boat off the bottom of the sanctuary. Or you're liable for $100,000 a day fine, plus commercial salvage fees, a company that come out of San Francisco to pull your boat up. And we've had boat owners have racked up a bill of $2.4 million.
Yeah, Mark, let me interrupt here for a second, too. Nancy, as I understand this, if it's been accurate in the paper, you could be subject to 20 years imprisonment plus a $100,000 fine per incident, something like that.
Larry,
can you answer that?
That's what we were informed by the magistrate on Thursday in court. That's what the law says. The idea that Nancy would go to jail for a minute, let alone 20 years, is quite preposterous to me.
No, well, me too. But the reason I need to say that is because of the magnitude and gravity of this case and situation. No matter how absurd it seems to you and I that they could even do something like this, this is really important for us to get behind it. That's why I wanted to cut in here, Mark, because that's all part of the same thing.
Okay, you guys mentioned earlier chumming for sharks. That's against the law. You cannot chum for great white sharks, or you will be subject to the same process that Nancy Black is going through. So you just haphazardly, well, how about chumming for sharks? It's illegal. You cannot do that. And, you know, another case in point of just the outrageousness of these actions is some poor guy was in Elkhorn Slough last month in his little aluminum boat, and he caught some leopard sharks and rays. But he was on the east side of the Highway 1 bridge. Well, that is a marine reserve. You know, these are not endangered species. The floor of the bay is paved with leopard sharks. And so he violated the law, and sure, take your medicine, you know, get your fine and get a ticket and go. Well, the fine was $4,000. I mean, this guy's on the lower end of the economic chain because he's out there fishing in Elkhorn Slough in an aluminum boat. But a $4,000 fine for catching leopard sharks? I mean, we used to have a shark derby in the slough not too many years ago.
The kayak tours down there at Moss Landing, is that harassing the marine mammal life? There seems to be so much more going on here than happened in your case, Nancy. And I understand we can't try it on the air. We can't do anything about that. But what we can do is make the public aware of how the laws that are written and signed into law affect us to get us more active in our interactions with our elected officials.
Vernon, you bring up a valid point, but try to read the law of a description of what a personal watercraft is, you know, the old jet ski. What is it? And look in there, and it changes year by year because of the jet skis, the personal watercrafts change year.
Well, and that's the whole point I'm trying to get to, Mark, is that we can't vote for someone and go to sleep. We need to be on them all the time. We need to be conscious and aware. And Nancy here is taking a huge hit for all of us, and we need to support her because what she's been accused of or indicted for, it seems very absurd to me. The statutes are unclear. As Larry pointed out, there's no good definition of feeding. That's all over the place. As the term goes, the jackbooted thugs kicked in her door, metaphorically speaking, at least, with a search warrant. And Nancy is us, and she was authorized to do what she's doing.
And my only point is, right or wrong, protecting the sanctuary, whatever, but I'm just telling the general public, really educate yourself before you go out there, because you can get in a heck of a lot of trouble in a big hurry.
Sure.
Yeah.
And very, very expensive trouble. And also, even if you don't go out into the bay, remember, NOAA's jurisdiction goes inland. So anything affecting that bay, you are also under their jurisdiction, and they could take a causative action against you if they find an issue that you've run afoul of them on. But really, educate yourself, learn the laws as basically as you can before you go out and enjoy the bay, because you can get in a lot of trouble in a big hurry.
Yeah, you know, and ignorance of the law is no excuse, as we're told. Mark, thanks for the call. Got a
and Admiralty Court, remember, you're guilty until proven innocent.
Listen, thanks so much for the call, Mark. Before I take the next call here, what I'd like to do is there anything we can do, Larry, to and Nancy, to be of assistance, come to your aid? Is there a website set up? Is there a foundation for donations? Is there any of that stuff? Because, you know, time slips by us, and I'm going to get to my other callers here. But I really want a way for people to be able to participate as citizens of this great nation of the Monterey Bay Area in terms of what's going on here, because I think this is something we all need to be aware of.
Well, there are two things, Vern. One, there's already been a website set up in something called causes.com, and if you put in Nancy Black, you can find it. Nancy didn't do this. Supporters of hers did. And there are, you know, people can look at it there. We're also probably been asked by a number of her supporters to put up a Facebook page where we can get the word out in terms of what's going on. We haven't done that yet, but that is something that's probably coming, so people who are involved in the social media can get their voices heard on this. Again, this is probably, you know, nobody would argue that NOAA is not a terribly, terribly valuable agency of the United States government protecting our air, our airspace, and our navigable waters. And certainly the Monterey Bay is a pride and joy of everybody who lives in this area. But we have to be able to distinguish between the bad guys and the good guys.
No, absolutely. I've heard you say nothing bad about NOAA. I don't think I've said anything bad about NOAA, but I do find this whole case troubling because, as I say, I am not an attorney, but I can read. I'm fairly well educated. And here I see a fellow citizen scientist that was indicted for something called feeding that's not well defined when they were just doing good science. And I don't think that we can just ignore this kind of stuff. And that's why I hope you can stay with me for at least a couple minutes after the top of the hour to help wrap up your part of this. Can you do this, Larry and Nancy?
Yes, we can.
Yes.
Because, you know, I learned a lot about orcas in the first 15, 20 minutes, but I have a couple other callers here that I both want to get to, and I think that there's some things we should wrap up in terms of your case in this Saturday special to best serve you and your time having been on the radio and the rest of our listening audience. And I see we're coming to the top of the hour. We've got 2 minutes left. I'm going to go ahead and take Jack right now. And from Jack, you're on the air.
Hello. Yes, I was wondering, when did NOAA get the enforcement or the jurisdiction and the enforcement authority to police the marine mammals?
Well, I don't know the history of that. Honestly, I'm not sure if Nancy does. They have a law enforcement office and officers here at the sanctuary, and they're empowered to not only look at activities in the bay, but as the previous gentleman Mark said, they can go into the rivers, the navigable rivers, and they have quite a bit of jurisdiction. They're like the cops on the water, if you will.
I understand. I know my step.
I'm going we've got to hold that thought. We got 15 minutes before the top of the hour break. My name is Vernon Bohr, aka Vernon, aka V Cubed. I'm in for MZ on the Saturday special. We will be right back with you after the top of the hour break. You're listening to KSEO Santa Cruz.
CNN Radio. I'm Barbara Hall. The United Nations Security Council today rejected a resolution condemning the violence in Syria. Despite weeks of negotiations, Russia and China vetoed it. German Ambassador Peter Wittig says it's an embarrassment.
The people in Syria and the region have been let down again. And this is a crying shame. Even more so in the light of the recent massacres in Homs. and even more so in the light of one of the bloodiest days in the Arab Spring.
Russia's UN ambassador said the measure was not balanced to reflect what he called the real state of affairs in Syria. Vitaly Churkin says other members of the Security Council have been trying to use the situation in Syria to their advantage.
From the very beginning of the Syrian process, have been undermining the opportunity for political settlement, calling for a regime change, pushing the oppositionists towards power, and not stopping a provocation, and feeding on methods of struggle.
Activists say at least 320 Syrians have been killed by government forces just in the city of Homs over the past few days. Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney is expected to snag another victory today. Nevada is holding its caucuses. A win could give him back-to-back victories after his success in Florida. Park police showed up in force at the Occupy protest in Washington this morning.
Stand your ground!
Move!
You're already with
ground.
Five steps.
You'll hold the ground.
Dressed in yellow full-body sanitation suits, officers combed through tents, taking down those that violate park camping policies. Four people were arrested. Parts of Colorado have been slammed by a major snowstorm. More than 600 flights were canceled yesterday at the Denver International Airport, and passengers are being warned of more cancellations today. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
On my journey to help save people money on car insurance, people have been really surprised to learn that GEICO can also help with renter's insurance. They're even more surprised when I tell them it costs as little as $12 a month. But perhaps what's most surprising is that I still live with my mum. Yeah, I know, I really should start thinking about renting my own place. But then I'd have to get my own tea kettle, sofa, shower curtain, soap dish.
Visit GEICO.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle. We don't just sell windshield wipers. Oh, no. We install them for you, fast and free with purchase on most vehicles. And now, save $10 instantly when you purchase two Rain-X Repel wiper blades. So if your wipers are squeaking, streaking, smudging, or otherwise just kicking you off, remember, free wiper installation at Advance. Service is our best part.
Advance Auto Parts.
See store for details.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
It may be delinquent for our government to not recognize our military to the extent that it deserves by not giving it and its families higher wages. Able-bodied young men are urged to join the military and put themselves in harm's way, but they may receive low wages, and if they have families, their wages may also be low compared to those persons working at desks in our now large Obama government when Obama used the first stimulus billions in his government to reward his buddies for helping him become president by enlarging our government unnecessarily. That was a total waste. Now we have further expenses and still no new real jobs. Now we see too many of our soldiers coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan crippled. Why are we fighting so far from home? Many return without arms or legs, with permanent disabilities, and struggle financially, and it does not appear that our government offers much help. Simply because our TVs are filled with requests for we the people to help our veterans and continue doing so indefinitely. To a point, we the people should be generous, but when does our government step in and also help? For many years, I have chosen to help the paralyzed veterans, but lately I have been receiving every day in the mail at least 30 requests for help from veteran associations and other needy charities. Because of these abundant requests so suddenly, I'm somewhat irritated to learn that my name and the names of other charitable Americans have been sold to many other organizations asking for help. and that is a violation of our privacy. It may be way past time for Obama and our federal government to step up to the plate and also help all of our needy soldiers and their families. It's the moral responsibility of the government who sent our men into war to take care of them and their families indefinitely if necessary. And if private citizens would like to help out, that would be compassionate, but our government must be the one responsible entity. And finally, why can't we think carefully before we allow ourselves to go to war with other countries? Can't we see that nobody wins in wars except the companies who create the guns and ammunition? Otherwise, every side loses. For KSCO, this is Kay Zwirling.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. Got your forecast here. We got sunny skies today. High of about 67. There's going to be light winds. Tonight's going to be mostly clear. Low of 39 with light winds. And on Sunday, mostly sunny. High of 68 with light winds. Out there on the Monterey Bay, the east wind's 10 knots, becoming northwest this afternoon. The wind waves will be less than 2 feet. A west swell of 6 to 8 feet at 14 seconds. And tonight, northeast winds 10 knots, wind waves less than 2 feet. West swell 5 to 7 feet at 14 seconds. And out there tomorrow, the east winds 10 knots, wind waves 1 to 3 feet in the morning, becoming less than 2. And a west swell of 5 to 7 feet at 14 seconds. Current temperatures, I've got Watsonville at 55. It is 62 degrees in Monterey. It's 55 in Salinas. We are at 59 degrees here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSCO Studios. For your King of the Hill traffic update, I still have the traffic collision up on here on the CHP page, the Felton Empire Road at Empire Grade Road, and that happened at 9, still 11, but it's still going on. CHP's still on the scene there, trying to clear it off the road. So that, and also there is a pedestrian walking on southbound 101 just north of 156. Heads up on that one. 475-1080 for any traffic information that you have for me that you see out there driving around. And the official time is 11:08 and 25 seconds on this Saturday, February 4th. Up next, we got the second hour of the Saturday special with Vernon. Stay tuned for that. I love Kay Zwirling. She's here in the studio till about 12:30. Come by, say hi, get a book, have her sign your book. Whatever you want to do, she's here. So that's great. And let's start this second hour here.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back.
Okay, folks, back here with you on KSCO AM 1080 on the Saturday special. My name's Vernon Bohr, a.k.a. Vernon, a.k.a. V-Cubed, in for MZ. And as Nikki said, Kay is in the house. She's here to sign books. I think she'll be here till at least 12:30. And come down, get her book, get a signed copy, and you will not regret it. When we went to the break, I had Larry Beagle and Nancy Black on. Nancy's my guest. Larry's her legal counsel for this indictment by Noah, accusing Nancy of feeding the orcas when she was apparently doing, even if she wasn't doing research, I don't know. This seems so strange to me in the definition of feeding, but, and I, that was not an assertion that you weren't, Nancy. Just, I find this whole case so bizarre, and I happened to lose Jack there. If he wants to call back in, I'll pick him up. I did something wrong. And being relatively new to the new board system. Jack, I think I'll have you back up here in a second. There you go.
Yeah. It was my fault. I lost myself. I was just going to say.
Jack, I'll tell you something. I'm one of those people who walks through the world and willing to take the heat and blame for everything. It's always me. Just kidding. Go ahead.
Right. I just want to say NOAA used to be it is the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Association. It used to be a information agency, a lot like NASA. And I'm wondering, when did they gain the authority to enforce the laws? It seems like that should be the Fish and Wildlife Service's duty to enforce those laws. And also, I'm wondering, how do they justify the escalation of fines and penalties without an increase in infraction? It seems to me that is something that should be against the law for them to do. They shouldn't be able to say, well, if you are going to contest our charges against you, then we're going to increase the penalty. There should be a penalty for the crime. And you know, that's like telling somebody, okay, you ran a red light, and if you decide that, you were speeding, and if you decide you want to go to court and tell us that our radar guns were wrong, then we're gonna double the fine. That things don't work that way, and I'm wondering how are they justifying their actions?
I don't know that we know that at this point. I'll let Larry take this in a second, but I'm glad you brought that up, Jack, because one of my notes was. And Nancy would know this. Did you ever receive, because your the papers say that you were indicted on two instances. Did they ever give you a warning and say, hey, do you realize that you're violating this act and you're being put on notice or something? Because it's so nebulous in the first place that it would seem to me that at the very least that this should have come up as a potential issue to be dealt with long before going to a grand jury indictment. Am I wrong there, or something's crazy about this to me?
Yeah, the feeding thing, that particular case, it just seems to me, and I have the support of other scientists at NOAA, within the organization of NOAA, they also, you know, are bothered by the fact that the agent or agents involved never contacted any of them. These are experts, you know. The NOAA agents, they have their own legal things they do, but they're not out on the ocean every day and learning about the behavior of whales, whereas there are experts within NOAA that could have evaluated this. And one of the scientists, you know, has mentioned to me that, you know, specifically that, you know, he even tried to offer his opinion, but they didn't want to hear it. And, you know, it seems like somebody should be, there should be some organization or some group of people that are experts that can evaluate these things. You know, NOAA agent can say, well, look, this what's happened. What do you think about it? Should this be something we go further with or not? And that seems to be, you know, sorely lacking. And not just me, you know, others think that as well. They should get the advice of experts on this. And, you know, they didn't do that.
The answer, Vernon, to your question is very simply no. Nobody ever came to Nancy and discussed this with her in some professional or collegial way. They went to her door with armed people and went in with a search warrant, and everything since that time has been a discussion of penalties under the federal criminal law. And try to answer the gentleman's question, okay, first of all, there, you know, Congress has set up NOAA. NOAA has a law enforcement component which is separate from the scientists, for example, that Nancy works in. No one suggests that they shouldn't have that. But I would point out there's a distinction between the NOAA law enforcement people and the State Department of Fish and Game. They operate under completely different administrations, and they're enforcing completely different laws. With the question to respond to the issue about how these penalties are meted out, Congress has the right, and we have a separation of where we have Congress passing a law, we have NOAA as an administrative agency, part of the executive branch, and we have the courts now to be able to maybe resolve this, hopefully. But Congress has said that if you violate certain provisions of the MMPA, you can go to jail for 20 years. Now, in a million years, no one is ever talking about Nancy going to prison for 20 years. We get that. But somebody who does something like, for example, for commercial purposes, goes out on our coast here and starts killing orcas for their blubber or gray whales for their blubber, hey, you know, that person or that commercial really ought to be punished. And I don't think there's a lot of question about that. On the other hand, somebody like Nancy, okay, who's doing this for scientific purposes, the real question is this against the law? The how you enforce the law, how you punish people, is a question that comes under the federal sentencing guidelines. So somebody who does something a lot less than going out and killing killer whales or gray whales for their blubber, there are what's known as sentencing guidelines way below that 20-year. So it's not completely disorganized. Our position is Nancy should not be sentenced for anything because Nancy Black didn't do anything in violation of the law.
Yeah, Larry, I want to jump. I've fortunate or unfortunate, and you can tell me if I'm amiss here, is really what we want to have happen out of this whole thing is we really want the thing dropped. We don't even want it to go to any case whatsoever. We want to get everything out on the table and have it come to the point that there really is nothing here to prosecute. Because, as you say, as no one's talking about Nancy, really believes she'd go to jail for 20 years. But I'll tell you what, when you get into the realm of the law and the weird things, the sentences, weird things happen. And you don't even want to try and get that. You don't even want to go there, is my understanding.
My client does not want to go to federal court. She's scared to death of it, as any citizen would be. Yeah. But we have both been talking to the federal government for almost 6 years now, trying to get them to understand that the scientists who look at this say this is not a crime. We have talked until we were blue in the face, and they have insisted that if we did not knuckle under to something, they were going to indict Nancy. Nancy would not knuckle under. They indicted Nancy. Now we have an opportunity to have a federal judge or a federal jury, resolve this dispute. We fervently hope it doesn't go to trial. But so far, we've not been able to change their mind.
Well, you know, I don't know what we can do, but that's also part of the show here. For all of you listening out there, there was something that just recently came up unrelated to Nancy. It was something called SOPA. And I'm going to tell you something, that our actions and interactions with our elected officials can move and change things. And I invite everyone here to write Barbara Boxer, Diane Feinstein, and Sam Farr. They're in our area. And if you're listening outside our area, and if you feel the way I do about this whole case and as passionately as I do, write them, get them involved, get your social networking involved. Because as I keep saying, this transcends Nancy Black. I want everyone to understand that from my perspective, it transcends you, Nancy. You're not wonderful and all that, but you shouldn't even be here. That's my that is absolutely my opinion. This is a total miscarriage of justice. I understand we need the laws, but this is the law gone awry. This is legislation gone awry, in my humble opinion.
Can I add something?
Sure.
There is the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service who should have jurisdiction over the marine mammals. And I do have a problem with an agency like NOAA having an enforcement arm. If they needed to enforce laws, if somebody's slaughtering marine mammals, the U.S. Marshals are completely our law enforcement division, the federal government that can handle that. We don't need to have every federal agency having an armed police force, and that's the problem, because they have to justify their little police force, and they have to fund it, and they need to find people to prosecute, they need to find people to fine, and that is the whole problem. And NOAA is an information agency. They study the atmosphere and the ocean. And that's what they should do. They should provide information. And if laws need to be enforced, then law enforcement agencies ought to do it. And as far as the marine mammals, this, you know, I mean, if I was the dictator of the United States, that's the way it would be. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service would have the jurisdiction to police the marine mammal situation.
Jack,
I'm wondering when did NOAA get its law enforcement arm? That is something that's new. It has to have been within the last 5 years.
Yeah, Jack.
No, it's longer than that.
Was it?
Jack?
Does anybody know, though? When
no one does. Why don't you do some research for them? My boards are starting to stack up here. I don't know how much longer I'm going to have Larry and Nancy on. And I appreciate the call. I appreciate your patience. Let's move on here to Alan, who's been on for a long time. Alan, thank you for your patience as you come on up here. What do you have for me?
Hi, Vernon. Well, I was listening to another debate on KSEO about the same topic. It started with Bill Wattenberg, and a gentleman called in. He may be the source of what all this was. He was the former owner of a commercial whale watching group or a boat down in Monterey area, and he called in and totally full of vitriol for Nancy's work and said she crossed his bow and she ran across in front of whales. He did all these things. He was just spouting all this stuff. And I don't know, but it seems to me like there's something there that maybe underneath all of this, that it's somebody's got an axe to grind.
Well, that certainly seems reasonable to me. There seems to be a huge to-do about nothing, a tempest in a teapot, as far as I'm concerned. But that doesn't help Nancy at all right now. We need to find some way to deal with our system gone amok.
Right. Well, thank you.
Thanks so much. I'm going to stay on the lines here because okay. I don't have you guys all that much longer. I got Stephen Pacific Grove, and then Ben, I see you're up there. I will definitely get to you. I look forward to talking to you. Haven't talked to you in a long time. Stephen Pacific Grove, you're on the air. Any questions for Nancy or Larry or comments?
I know Larry's a great lawyer. He defends people who can't afford to defend themselves. And he's just a really good guy. And this is railroading. And Catherine Cryer, she used to be on CNN and some other.
I remember her well.
She's written books recently, and she summed it this way. She was a law professor and a lawyer and a news reporter. She summed it up this way. This whole system has become corrupt, okay? And Nancy's just caught up in all this corruption. Look, we have the Patriot Act. We have next month on March 3rd, the military can come bust down your door and haul you away to Guantanamo without a search warrant, you know, from a judge. This is what's happened here in our country, and we're going to have to stand up to it. This is just a small example of the government trying to take control and lord over us.
You know, let me jump in here, too. What's really troubling on this one, Nancy, and I just really want to come to your defense on this, is here you are, a scientist working for a government agency with the permission or permits of the government, and you have your people showing up at your door armed with search warrants. There's something wrong with that in this country.
Well, yeah, there has to be. I mean, yeah, that was the most terrifying thing ever. I couldn't even believe it.
I hope they didn't do it during American Idol or something more important like that.
Yeah, it was like 7 in the morning.
They could at least, you know, even bill collectors can't come after you till after 8 in the morning, and they got to quit at 9. There's something very wrong here. A little humor, folks, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, this also, a lot of people agree that, you know, how much money has been spent in the last 5 years by NOAA. I mean, it's just incredible that they would spend so much money on something like this when there's so many more important things that could be done, that could be used for that money. It's just very disturbing.
That's question 4 on my long list of things I jotted down last night. Isn't this a waste of public resources and money? I mean,
there's an endangered species, the most endangered marine mammal in the world called the vaquita, and that's found in the northern Gulf of California and the sea, of course. And it would take about, they estimate, maybe about 20 million to actually save this species, to buy out the fishermen that their nets are killing them. The fishermen use it for their livelihood. But, you know, why can't, you know, the money should go to things like that that are so desperately needed to save a species, which is not that much money when you think about it. And, you know, there's other things, like when you say sanctuary, it's not, you know, the true word of a sanctuary. You probably know that because Fish and Game governs the fishing part. They don't have anything to do with the sanctuary, has nothing to do with the fishing. And there are things going on that, you know, could be looked at and the money could be spent that way. I mean, I have nothing against the fishermen at all. There's just some interactions, such as the crab traps. There's lots of crab traps in the water right now in the winter. It's crab season. And the humpback whales were here through December. There might still be a few around. And they feed in the bay, and they go right in the areas. I documented the position of the traps and also where the whales are. And the humpback whales do get caught in these traps periodically. It happens every year. And this is a sanctuary, but it's not in the true word because, you know, here's an endangered humpback whale having to navigate through these fishing traps. And, you know, something just seems not quite right about that. And also, you know, there's the feeding, the whales, the humpbacks feed on sardines and anchovies, and that's also fished for in the bay. And again, I have nothing against the fishermen. I know they're making their livelihood, but, you know, there's just something, you know, money could be spent on figuring out ways to have both of those happen where the whales could still feed and can do their work. But, you know, the humpbacks feed on the sardines, and the fishermen are also going out with their big purse seine nets catching the food of the humpback whales.
So. You know what I hear you saying, Nancy, really, is that at the heart of it, really, if it really is about, you know, protecting endangered species and protection and caring about our environment, there are much bigger issues much more
much
important things to go after.
Could be spent with money.
And like I say, what I find troubling is that no one took the time to say, hey, Nancy, have you ever considered this might be in violation of the MPA that you're feeding the whales to allow you to say something first? I mean, this is almost inquisitional, in my opinion. Listen,
I mean, if I was doing anything wrong, if real scientists thought I was, then of course I would say, gee, okay, well, I won't do that anymore. You know, I didn't know, and, you know, it won't happen again or whatever. But I wasn't given that opportunity.
Well, just think, if it hadn't happened, you wouldn't have had the radio celebrity.
Yeah, I don't know.
What a heck of a way to get famous. Go ahead, Larry.
Let me just tell you, I think Nancy could do without the radio celebrity. She'd rather be out on the bay doing the work that she does, and she could definitely live without Mark Vermeulen and myself, her lawyers. Believe me.
I'm certain she could, but I couldn't resist the little, you know, bit of humor.
You betcha.
Steve, anything else before I move on to the great Ben and Salinas here?
More quick thing about this. Nancy probably knows is at certain times of the year when the dead seals wash up, the city of Monterey drives a yellow Caterpillar tractor down there and buries these seals in front of the old Del Monte Hotel, which is now the postgraduate school. And then a lot of times the seals get unburied, and all that stuff's floating around in there. In fact, I have a friend who's a professor emeritus from Hastings College of Law. His doctor told him, do not swim off Del Monte Beach because you have a probability of getting hepatitis from that water. Do you know anything about that, Nancy?
I know that that's true, and a lot of the pollution, the bacteria in the nearshore waters comes from drain off, you know, from the inland areas, like, you know, the rainwater drains and the sinks, and things like cats, you know, from the cat litter boxes. There's some viruses that the sea otters can pick up, and, you know, all kinds of things get run off into the ocean, and certainly sea lions carry leptospirosis, which is a disease that can be transmitted to dogs and cats and things. So, yeah, there's, you know, lots of studies that, you know, could be done. And the sanctuary does do studies on the water quality. They're pretty good at monitoring things like that. But, sure, there's all the time that happens where you see signs for periods that say, do not swim in this water right now.
Well, maybe they could spend some money rather than millions hassling you. They could work to clean the water so little kids who I see down there, and I cringe when I see them swimming there, they could get hepatitis.
Yeah, I mean, they could do something with the filtering system for the how the water gets drained into the ocean. I'm sure there's some technology that could be, you know, looked into.
Yeah, when it's all said and done out of this show, I really hope we move people to some sort of action, both on your behalf and our behalf, Nancy, is citizens of this great country, because this is absurd. Steve, got to move on. Thanks so much for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's go here, and I have not spoken to my friend in a long time. You can do the intro, Ben.
Good morning, Vernon. This is the great Ben, and I miss talking to your scientific knowledge. This kind of problem is what happens when these office dwellers, and that's what these people are, pot-bellied office dwellers, give themselves the power of the badge and the gun. My question here is, where is the jury of the peers? And does this mean that when Oompa takes his granddaughter to the beach and she throws a french fry to a pelican or a seagull, you guys can be taken away in handcuffs when these pencil neck geeks, self-authorized people? Is this a logical outcome of what we're dealing with, Vernon?
Yeah, even better than that, a french fry falls out of the french fry bag and the pelican or seagull grabs it before we can snatch it up and throw it away. If you really push it, yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is a power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. We should not stand for this, Ben.
Well, keep up your scientific approach and let's get together. We got to stop this kind of fascism. Otherwise, I mean, they've already looted the country. What else are they going to do? And when they start taking people away, you're held indefinitely without charges. Whose America is that, Vernon?
Well, you know, they always come up with charges. That's the problem. And it's too easy to come up with charges, Ben.
Yeah, but you can't see the evidence, the charges, or prosecutor, and you're held indefinitely. Your family can't even be told where you are or if you're alive or dead. That America is not yet spelled with a K, people.
Well, and, you know, Ben, unless we actively participate. You know, I know a lot of people on Facebook, and what it all boils down to, there's a lot of people talking about, you know, how bad things are.
Yeah.
But when it came to SOPA, which is a totally different issue, I immediately wrote Dianne Feinstein, and to her credit, she did get back to me. And there's an interaction. There's something we can do. But I didn't see anyone else step up. So with Nancy's case here at the end, I really want to, as we probably close out their time, they've been so generous with it, I want there again Larry and Nancy to tell us what they think is the best thing we can do to help have our voices heard in the big mix.
And I'll leave by saying this. We must hang together as fellow Americans, or we will surely hang separately. Thank you, Vernon.
Thank you, Ben.
Well, I'll give you just one observation fairly quickly, and this is a story that I recently read book about prosecutions like this from the federal government that seem to be rather absurd, and it's a subject of a great deal of academic debate. The story is that during the Gulag, and we certainly would never want to believe that we're in a country that could have Gulag. But in the Soviet Union, they certainly did. And an American lawyer, went over to try to represent some of these dissidents who were being, you know, singled out for nothing particular. And heard the story that a new prisoner came into a prison and was asked by the older prisoners what he was there for. And he said, "I got 10 years for doing nothing." And the leader of the old prisoners said, "You're a liar. For doing nothing, they give you 5 years."
You know, this is absolutely crazy for me. Like I say, Michael, I thank you again for being pulled away on a business trip and giving me this opportunity to do this interview. Because, as I said last night, I looked at this, I looked at the MMPA, and I go, I just don't get it at all. So what can we do? Would Larry, Nancy, put out your plea and call to the people here.
Well, we're certainly interested in public support. There's no doubt about it. Obviously, since this has been made known, The media has just gotten on this, and there are all sorts of requests for Nancy to, you know, to go into various outlets and talk about what's happened to her. I really wish, and she wishes, they had not made her a poster girl for this sort of activity. Honestly, right now, I would just say that we would accept everybody's best wishes and hopes for the future. There are going to be some social media sites that are going to be up that Nancy is not setting up, but are being set up for her by supporters. And people, I think, can stay involved in the story that way. And as specific things come up, I think that would be a good direction to go.
And that causes.com for now. And then we'd like to update you when we do have something that's, you know, a little more specific.
Yeah, I'll tell you, anyone out there, I've been had the privilege of being associated with KSCO here for years. So there are a lot of listeners out there that have heard my voice before. And Vernon at Vernon's Place, I will, if you want to write down my email and send me an email after this program, I'll put together a special list to help facilitate some sort of central point again, and we can get some stuff going. There's another thing that I'll put out that Larry did not throw out there. Do you have any place for donations? One of the things, even if you're donating your time, Larry, when it comes to legal work and all the discoveries, and the legal process is not without cost.
Larry, you know, he is a lawyer. He's not donating his time, but his job. I have two lawyers, and, you know, this is quite expensive. I mean, Larry, I mean, you agree, right? That's normal. I mean, when you have
I wish it weren't.
That's normal. So I am paying a lot of money. I am fearful that I could lose my house. So it is a very serious thing.
So where can people make contributions? Is Common Cause, is Causes the only place? Because one of the things, I did a search on them, and I did Nancy Black and all sorts of things came up that could have been my problem. So right now, without having a direct focus,
be a account set up at, you know, my Bank of America under Wales, Nancy, and then Wales. I could have that set up, you know, by Monday, and, you know, just send it directly to the bank under that title. And that could be a start, because that certainly would be a great help, because this is a very serious issue financially.
It's a serious issue financially, socially, and everything else. And that's why, you know, you did not bring it up. But we need to support each other. And I know, I just know that when you get into the realm of legality, you know, you just get beaten to death. And no matter how much you try and keep costs down, you cannot walk in the legal system.
If you give me your email, I will certainly sue and update you, Vern, on what actions we're taking. We appreciate that very much. We didn't obviously come on this show to panhandle for money, but if people want to help us,
that was very clear to me. I've asked you three times now how people could help, and at no point in time have you ever brought up anything regarding financial assistance, but I know that's a very real reality when you get to the stage you're at. And so I would be remiss if I didn't bring it up.
Yeah, no, it's very scary. I mean, I could lose my house. You know, I'm paying, my mother's in a nursing home. That costs $4,000 a month that I'm paying, and she's very ill. So they have a lot of problems with that, and that's not one of the things I was going to, you know, discuss, but you brought it up. And you know, it's hard for me. I don't know, you know, quite what I'm going to do, how I'm going to, you know, deal with all this.
As Ben said, Ben didn't say it this way, is we all hang them together or they get away with it. Really, you know, Nancy, you are one of us. You're doing, what's crazy about this is the work you're doing is related to the reason that something like the MMPA was put together in the first place, and now you're getting bit on the backside of this for doing something that gives us more information about the species in the ocean that we care about. There's just something insane about that. It's like,
well, yeah, my research actually was really important. It got interrupted. Just brief, killer whales off the coast of California have some of the highest levels of PCBs, DDTs, and flame retardants of any whales in the world. It's because we're in a highly populated area, and there's runoff, and those chemicals do not biodegrade in the ocean. I was sampling them with scampling skin and blubber through small dart as part of a major project through the North Pacific, and that was through NOAA, and I contributed my samples. I funded all the work on my own because I'm an independent. But
Wait. I got to stop you. This is too good, Nancy. This is too good. Larry, take notes because maybe it could be useful later. Did you say that you were legally collecting blubber samples through small darts?
Right. Yep. Yeah, that was part of my
permit. Well, wait a second. Wait. I am confused. I don't understand here. It seems to me that if there's any way of harassing killer whales, the collecting legal blubber samples with small darts has to be more harassing than
right,
feeding.
Right, that's why I had a permit to do just that. I had a permit to harass these whales, and that permit
I'm
was
being sarcastic for the listeners
out collecting,
there.
Collecting the skin and blubber. But I did find, I was the first one to find, you know, back in the 90s, that these killer whales are way off the charts. I've given talks, and you can see the graphs, and they're way off the charts with these chemicals, and they don't biodegrade. And my research, I got stopped, but when I can continue again, I feel very positive that I will get to continue my research again with these animals. And I was going to learn about, you know, sampling the mothers, and then they dump all those chemicals into their firstborn calf. And I'm looking at the survival of the mother and then the calves, her future calves, and see how it's all related, you know, and what can be done about it. Flame retardants are supposed to be banned off California. They haven't been yet, but in other countries they have banned those. Those are chemicals that you use everywhere on your furniture. They're sprayed on computers, you know, to stop fire. So they're very similar to PCBs. Anyway, I was doing very important work, and that work was sent directly to NOAA, and NOAA scientists analyzed it through their labs. So, you know, that's something to say there.
Larry, you were going to say something there.
I just want to say that, again, in conclusion, I think, really, Nancy's work was permitted by NOAA.
Yeah.
She could do four things. Number one, she could photo identify the whales, which she told you about. She's been doing this since the 90s. She is a principal author of a work called Killer Whales of California and Western Mexico, a catalog of photo identified individuals. And that work, as Nancy told you, was literally the seminal work that allowed scientists to know that the range of these creatures. Number two, she could dart the whales. Talk about invasive. She could dart these whales to get these samples of this for this incredibly important research on contaminants. Okay, and then she had two specific portions of her permit which allowed her to monitor the feeding of these whales. Okay, so the irony of this case is looking at that permit. Okay, from that government entity, as this gentleman said, which is an informational entity, which is trying to get information. They fund scientists. And by the way, most of the work Nancy's done over the years has been volunteer work. She's not getting paid for it, okay? At any rate, she was permitted to do this, and now she's being prosecuted. Somehow or another, that sounds to me like, well, I'll use the reference to Franz Kafka. How did we get here?
Well, that's what I've been saying the whole time, and it sounds like tremendous hypocrisy here. That's why the whole thing is in the statute, right? You cannot harass.
Correct.
Feeding is not defined, but yet Nancy was permitted to get blubber samples, which are an important part of the research, which is more invasive than putting some blubber on a poll cam. This is just all messed up, all screwed up, just to avoid another word that we can't use on the air. And just a little bit of research shows a certain, this is absurd, the theater of the absurd, so to speak. And that's why I say I was thrilled that you were able to be on today, because what a waste of public time, resources, money, and what a loss! And not to mention what you've been under, because what that was another thing on my list is there a statute of limitations here? But obviously, no, like most things under the law, this actually started back in 2004, 2005, and you've been living with it since. Is that correct?
Yeah, there is a statute of limitations, but during the time that we were negotiating, talking to them, in order to try to continue the dialogue so that the axe wouldn't fall as it has fallen with the indictment, we signed tolling agreements which allowed our discussions to continue.
Yeah.
So that's why it's taken so long.
And that's why I want to throw it out there, because I think that the other thing that gets missed in the papers, so to speak, is that this is not something that just popped up this year. This has been ongoing, folks, for 5-6 years.
Yeah, Nancy's been under the gun for that length of time, and take my word for it, this woman has been under an amazing amount of pressure, and because of this has not been able to do that scientific research, which I guarantee you not only hurts Nancy Black intellectually, academically, and scientifically, but it hurts the entire scientific community because she was a very contributing member of that.
You know, I couldn't agree more. Larry, you can email me, Vernon at vernonsplace.net, all one word there. Same thing with you, Nancy.
And an apostrophe
no,
after Vernon's
no,
Place?
No, it won't. Okay. It won't accept that. In fact, you could, you know, you can put anything in front of @vernonsplace.net, and it gets to me.
Got wonderful. Thank you very much for your time. We appreciate the positive comments you've made. I know Nancy does. She needs
to be. Thank you very much.
She really needs to be bucked up.
And Nancy, thank you for the lesson on the orcas. I've learned more than I knew my entire life about them. I don't know if I'd pass the test, but I can monitor classes these days. I don't need to take them for credit. Larry and Nancy, thank you so much for being my guest. Email me, and we'll get something going here in the background. I've been known to be a little mischievous from time to time.
Go for it, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you
Bye-bye.
So much. And with
thank
that,
thank you. Yes, thank you very much.
You are very welcome. It's been my pleasure, and best of luck. And I want to thank the Zwirlings for providing the Saturday special so that we could really discuss this issue of import. Nikki, we got some commercials to play here. I'll be right back with you. My name is Vernon Bohr, a.k.a. Vernon, a.k.a. V-Cubed. I'll be right back.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4-6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Youngevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid, then is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. For more information or to order, call Andy or Phyllis Anderson at 888-245-0300. That's 888-245-0300.
Here's some good news. You can find the work you really want, the work that taps into your deepest talents and interests, and you can start Saturday at 2 p.m. by attending a free lecture entitled Let Love Lead by international speaker Chet Manchester at 3200 Center Street in Soquel. A practitioner and teacher of Christian Science Healing, Manchester's free talk on finding meaningful work and purpose will include a question and answer session. Get the help you need to find the work you want Saturday, 2 p.m. at 3200 Center Street in Soquel. For more information, call 475-6177.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangero. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangero family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Our Gilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both my son Dino and I look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
For seniors, having close and accessible medical care is important. Here in Santa Cruz County, the majority of our local doctors and specialists are members of PMG, Physicians Medical Group. Local doctors who are close to you when you need them most. With PMG, you have your own personal doctor who sees you every visit. That's something to remember when considering a Medicare Advantage plan.
Okay, everybody, listen up. When Dave Allen asked me to voice this spot, how could I refuse? It's all about Dr. Wallach and his amazing products. Think back when Dave Allen was the first to make it easily accessible for all you listeners out there. As usual, Dave Allen was ahead of his time. What a guy. Imagine, all you have to do is walk in, become a wholesale purchaser, and leave with the goods in your hand. Whoa, leave with the goods in your hand? In the Silicon Valley, San Jose area, just call Marilyn Henderson at 408-262-1888. That's 408-262-1888. In downtown SoCal Village on the corner of Dopinvis and SoCal Drive, the Bay Briar Shop. Their number is 462-1965, 462-1965. While in Aptos on SoCal Drive next to the Little Taco Bell, the Whitelaw Chiropractic and Wellness Center. Their number is 688-7077, 688-7077. Or on the web at www.deaddoctorsdontlie.com. Go bye.
Don't miss the next Perspectives.
Virtually all cancers are all substantially increased when you're vitamin D deficient.
Every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 o'clock.
You've tuned into the Perspectives radio show. My name is Donald Davidson. I'm your host, and joining me in the studio as special guest host is Dr. Stan.
Join Donald Davidson, Dr. Stanley Monteith, Dr. David Biles, Tom Quinn, and others. Perspectives every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 o'clock on KSCO.
Hot town, summer in the city, back of my neck getting dirt and gritty. Bend down, isn't it a pity? Doesn't seem to be a town in the city.
Back here with you. My name is Vernon Bohr, a.k.a. Vernon, a.k.a. VQ. We've got about 8 minutes left of the Saturday special. My guest today had been Nancy Black, who is being prosecuted by NOAA, for those of you that just tuned in. And we don't have a lot of time left, so I think that I just use that time to talk about our participation in our government. I know it's really easy. It's really easy to believe we make no difference at all, and maybe we don't. But I'll guarantee you, one way to make no difference at all is to do nothing. And it's not sufficient to just vote in those few elections a couple times a year. You know, Dr. Bill Wattenberg, who's been now on KSCO, we're proud to have him. As he says, as simple as it is, take an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper and put a sign in your windows that gets people to, what's that sign about? There's a lot of ways to participate, but if we don't, then we wind up with the kinds of things happening that happened with Nancy, a woman that does research on the orcas and the killer whales. It was indicted for what seems to me to be a pretty silly thing. Her, you know, as she says, there was the baby whale that the orcas were already feeding on, and she was trying to take advantage of that situation to get some more research data. And I think it's very easy to just kind of roll over, you know, and curl up and die and say, oh, well, I can't do anything at all. And like I say, if that's your attitude, if that's my attitude, we can't. We can move our elected officials, but only if we get off our duffs and do something. It's like I say, I wrote Dianne Feinstein on SOPA. I wish I had the letter in front of me, but she got back to me. She gave me a whole bunch of stuff about copyright, but at least someone's out there watching. And I will get back to her on that. And when I did that, I had people say, wow, you mean it only took her 4 days to get back to you? I thought that was a long time. I expected a response that day. But we have to continue to be active. And especially in this day and age of social media, email lists, all the technology that we've put into play to serve us and have our voice heard, so many people are participating in ways that require little energy, you know, email lists that I think a lot of the stuff gets ignored just due to sheer volume. But I swear to you, if you take the time to write, you know, go to Feinstein's page, Diane Feinstein's page, go to Barbara Boxer's page. By the way, that reminds me, I didn't hear back from Barbara Boxer. And Barbara, if you're listening, if you come across this broadcast, that tells me that you pretend to be my elected official. You pretend to represent me. But what I can count on is that when I use the very form that you put on your web page, you don't respond back. As soon as I go home today, I'm going to send her another email and say, hey, you're on notice. I know that you don't care what your constituents think. We have to hold their feet to the fire. We need to be on them. We need to know what they're up on, you know, up to, because in the absence of our holding them accountable, well, the cat's away, the mice will play. You would not think of hiring a contractor to work for you that you did not, in fact, hold accountable. You know, if you're paying someone good money, you're gonna watch what they're doing. I don't care who it is. But somehow with our elected officials, we don't do the same thing. Do we, Doug? Doug, are you on the Etsy? I might not have hit the button hard enough here. Doug, it looks like you're on the air. Oh, I know what happened here. I need to hit his microphone, which is this one. Doug? Doug, are you there? Let's see, which I missed. Doug?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Hey, I'd like to respond to the comment you just made about Barbara Boxer. I actually wrote a letter to her once before in regards to a comment she made about veterans and got the same reply that, in regards to her constituents and that they're the only ones she replies to. Well, as far as she knows, I could have been a constituent. She has no idea whether I am or not.
Absolutely. So, absolutely.
And the same thing goes for Sam Barr and all the other bozos that are out there. They need to remember or remind themselves to put them in office.
Yeah. You know, you're absolutely right. And what we need to do is we need to make up bumper stickers that say, Sam Farr doesn't listen. Barbara Boxer doesn't listen. You know, and get them on our cars and stuff. I wish I had more time here. I only have 3 minutes, Doug. But any other quick comment? Because I got to go to Reggie and Richard in Watsonville. I got 3 calls to get through.
No other comments except that I wish you'd be on What's Left a few more times during the week.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate the call. Listen, keep listening.
Talk to you
later. KSEO. Bye-bye. 479-1080, folks. And is this Reggie?
ZQ, what's going on, buddy?
I don't know. They called me today. MZ had to do something.
You didn't let me know you were coming on. I just caught the ass end of this.
Well, if you looked at your Facebook, I posted on there 3 times.
Sure, but anyway.
Okay. My shame on me. My bad. Reggie, send me another email to remind me. I will put you on a list and put together the list so people will know when I'm going to be on KSEO.
One more thing, real quick. You know, we've all been fighting between ourselves, Republicans, Democrats, et cetera, et cetera. Our fight is with our politicians. First of all, I actually voted for Sam Farr last time. I'll tell you why, Vernon. Because I didn't want him off the job, because if he got off the job, we would still be paying the new person that we elected to take his spot. Plus, we would be paying him for the rest of his friggin' life. We got to keep Sam Farr in there and hold his feet to the stove, because if we don't, we're going to be paying that sucker for the rest of our lives.
And, Reggie, we have the power, and thank you for the kind words, and thank you for the call. I will check you out after the show.
Bye.
You talk to you later, bud. And Richard.
Vernon, you check me out when you get time, man. When you get a little time, you call me, because I got a few things to say to you, but as far as this goes, don't forget, Boxer is married to a veteran. Sam Farr is going to say he is a veteran of the Peace Corps.
Yeah.
And this lady, you ever heard of stink bait? It's bait you put out there for catfish that makes it real stinky. So why does that lady put out stink
out
bait?
Out of time, Richard. I will call
All
you.
All right, man. Later.
Thanks so much for the call. Folks, that's it. Thanks for the opportunity to be here, MZ. You're listening to KSCO Santa Cruz.
CNN Radio. I'm Barbara Hall. The UN Security Council today rejected a draft resolution condemning the violence in Syria. The Arab League and many Western countries pushed for the measure, but Russia and China vetoed it. U.S. Ambassador Susan Rice was furious.
Those who oppose this resolution have denied this last chance to end Assad's brutality through peaceful means under Arab League auspices. Any further bloodshed that flows will be on their hands.
The UN vote came amid a spike in deadly violence inside Syria. Heavy gunfire in the Damascus suburb of Daraa broke up a funeral procession for a dead protester. Opposition groups are reporting more than 320 people, including women and children, have died in a government massacre in homes in the past 2 days. A UN report says more than 3,000 civilians were killed as a result of the conflict in Afghanistan last year. That's the most since the U.S.-led war began 10 years ago. Most of the deaths are attributed to insurgents. A Taliban spokesman calls the report propaganda. In Washington, D.C. right now, police are removing tents from an Occupy camp in downtown.
Stand your ground!
Move!
Move!
U.S. Park Service officers in hazmat suits are taking away tents that contain camping gear. Sergeant David Schlosser was heckled as he spoke to reporters.
The United States Park Police continues to support the right of people to exercise their constitutionally protected rights. This is not an eviction. We have closed all small sections of the park.
Voters in Nevada are choosing their GOP presidential candidate today. Only registered Republicans can take part in the caucuses. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
I like my insurance like I like my burrito, with everything rolled into one. Was in a state of craving Amigo, so my agent showed me how it's done. He wrapped up my auto, my home and my life. The discounts I'm getting are great. Everything good right there on one plate. Get to a better state, State Farm.
Everyone would like to get a few more miles from their gasoline. You'll be happy to know there's a gasoline that can help you do just that. BP gasoline with Invigorate can help your car get a few more miles per tank when compared to low detergent gas. When used continuously, it helps clean and protect critical engine parts from harmful deposits, which can help you go a little farther between fill-ups. We're confident you'll find a good use for the extra miles, even if it's just taking the long way home to hear the end of your favorite song on the radio. Fill up today with BP gasoline with Invigorate.
Hey parents, it's hard to pick up your kids nowadays without embarrassing them.
Hi, honey.
Not in front of my friends.
Well, kiss the embarrassment goodbye with OMGPS. OMGPS is a state-of-the-art navigation system that tells you exactly how far away you need to park when you pick up your kids.
Keisha at mall. Proceed to outer food court.
But she's not at the food court. She's at the movie theater.
Exactly. OMGPS comes with patented pre-teen reasoning technology to pinpoint precise pickup locations and minimize embarrassment.
In 100 yards, turn off the oldies music.
Thanks, OMGPS.
OMGPS is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Good afternoon, everyone. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. Got your forecast here. Looks like we got some sunny skies today. It's gorgeous out there. We're going to have a high of about 67 with light winds. And tonight's going to be mostly clear, low of 39 with light winds. Sunday, we got mostly sunny skies, high of 68 with light winds. And out on the Monterey Bay, the east wind's about 10 knots, becoming northwest this afternoon. Wind waves will be less than 2 feet, a west swell of 6 to 8 feet at 14 seconds. And tonight out there, northeast winds 10 knots, wind waves less than 2 feet, a west swell of 5 to 7 feet at 14 seconds. On Sunday, we got the east winds 10 knots, wind waves 1 to 3 feet in the morning, becoming less than 2, and a west swell of 5 to 7 feet at 14 seconds. For your CO King of the Hill traffic update, I don't have anything to report. It's looking good out there. If you see something, you can call me at 475-1080. As far as current temperatures goes, it's 61 in Monterey, 62 degrees in Salinas, 63 in Watsonville. We are at 70 already here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSCO studios. And the official time is 12:05 and 33 seconds on this Saturday, February 4th. Up next, we've got Perspective. Stay tuned. KSCO Santa Cruz, I'm Nikki James.
Good afternoon. You've tuned in to a Freedom Advocates edition of the Perspectives Radio Show. My name's Donald Davidson. I'm your host, and joining me in the studio, a special guest host today, is Daniel Beckett.